gorgeous, darling, but is it art?
Shannon Konica is a South African Tamaki-based artist working amongst a variety of mediums with a central focus on moving image and video. Her current exhibition, The Archive Room, showing at Room, navigates Room's own archive and archive room, bringing into focus a space that might be typically overlooked, an archive of ephemera that dates back to the artist-run space's opening in 1997, with many of the artworks within the archive being largely unknown of its maker. Within The Archive Room, Konica approaches the archive as a living, breathing site, repositioning the archive into an active site of touch and encounter through a process of material dialogue between Konica and the archived works, working with a light touch to preserve the work's agency, but enough to bring them forth into a space of active dialogue. I had a chat with Shannon Konica about her practice and current show, The Archive Room. Here it is now.
My name's Shannon Konica, and I'm a South African artist that's currently based in Aotearoa, New Zealand. And I've only been here since the start of 2024. I'm currently studying towards my master's in fine arts at Wycliff College. As a whole, my practice, I think, explores the relationship between humans, more than humans, and media. And what I mean by media is the ensembles of natural elements and human craft. This, I get this idea from John Durham pieces, part of what I'm studying at the moment. Mm-hmm. And I'm really interested in collapsing these boundaries between those categories, especially through materials and technology. I found myself working with moving image photography and sound objects, but I guess the medium always follows the idea, right? Mm-hmm. The thematic thread running through all my work is kind of animistic sensitivity, thinking through digital systems and how we might exist more intuitively in a world that's constantly in flux. Yeah, I think I draw a lot on animistic philosophers and readers as well as media philosophy as well.
Mm. And your current exhibition at Room, The Archive Room, pulls Room's own physical archive room into focus, reorienting the archive into a site of activation. What drew you to the space of the archive, and what about the idea of the archive really interested you and made you want to navigate within it?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I actually, when I thought about working with the archive, it was last year when I was at a stage in my practice where I was looking at areas or parts of the buildings that really were just unseen or not really focused on. So for example, a comms room in the building, I'd worked something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not your typical space with white walls, I guess. So when I started researching into RM and thinking about making a proposal, I wanted to, I saw the archive room and was very interested in that space specifically. And when I started looking on their website and reading into how they began making their archival process back in 2009 and drawing on inspiration from it gravitated towards me because there was a quote pulled from one of the articles that they'd been inspired by from seals in the art space, where archives are described as waiting to come alive again with the touch and breath of users. And in this moment in time, I was, you know, so much involved in this animistic way of thinking that I was like, oh wow, this reminds me of everything I've been thinking about lately. So that really stuck, and it made me think about memory and presence and what it means to care for what's been forgotten. So there was this deep urge to start moving, like collaborating with these archives and seeing how I could bring them back to life. And this is when I found the unidentifiable archives that exist on the online space of RM.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh wow, these archives are forgotten and no one knows about them. This would be perfect in terms of bringing them back to life and seeing if we can find a new space for these archives.
And I'm really interested in the kind of dialogue that occurred in the creative process of this work. Was there much of a dialogue between you and Room, given that you were working directly with the archive and in response to the archive?
Definitely, yes. There was incredible support from RM, and they really trusted me to respond intuitively. Mm. I was able to come in and really sit and rummage through all the archives as I wanted. And it really allowed this openness for the work to remain fluid and responsive, which I guess is essential to the way I make things. So what's interesting is, you know, artists is an artist-run space, and there's always new people flowing in and out of RM. Mm. So there's, you know, there tends to be, with new people, a lot of things get forgotten. So as much as I did have a good dialogue with them, there was, you know, these archives were still very much forgotten and no one had any idea where they come from. And there was, when I actually started setting up, the landlord, Derek, he has been with RM for a very long time, and he knew it when it started.
Oh, wow.
So it was great to have a conversation with him, because it sounded like he had the most to say, you know? Mm. And I really learned a lot from him about the archive.
Yeah, and any conversations with the artists whose work sit amongst the archive?
No, well, I mean, I specifically interacted with archives that were unidentifiable, so I had no idea of where or who they come from. So I guess that was the whole idea of making this project, was to see if there could be a potential dialogue with these artists later on, and bringing, you know, the artists back with the artwork, I guess.
That's really interesting, working with these artworks and traces from these people that you don't know or have never met. That's really interesting.
Yeah, it was interesting because there was still this silent conversation happening through the materials, I guess.
Mm.
You know, they were speaking in different ways.
Yeah.
How I would approach those pieces with a lot of care and respect.
Mm, yeah, more like a dialogue of the material, like through the process.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And what does it mean for you to reactivate and shift the archive into a living site? What does it take or require for that shift to occur?
This is a great question. And for me, reactivating the archive means treating it less like a storage room and more like a breathing system, something that's more responsive and in constant motion, you know, like this forever flux. It did require a lot of time and care and willingness to be quiet and really listen to the archive. You know, I sat there with the archives in person, the physical ephemera, as well as sitting on the online archives and, you know, paging through 40 folders and looking through all of them. And, you know, it was quite fun, a fun experience. And I felt like an adventurer within these archives.
And within your show, you have three works that weave together moving image, archive folders, and photographed unarchived physical ephemera. Could you speak a bit to these works and their physical kind of making process?
Yeah. So, like I said before, I spent a lot of time in the archive room as well as in the online archives, just sitting with the material, documenting it, and just thinking about how it feels to be surrounded by things that once had meaning but now are sort of floating about. When I first approached this idea, I knew that I wanted to work with just a light touch. And what I mean by that is just projector work and maybe manipulating or moving the archives in a certain way that, you know, to help tend and care to them a bit more. I used projector and video work as a way of touching these objects again without, you know, actually touching them, to reintroduce a sense of presence and movement. The editing was kind of like this way of making them flow into the frame, but quickly flow out. So you get this chance to read them, but immediately you lose them. So you try and recognize them, but they immediately just disappear from view, which, to me, this mode of making was really form part of how the archives exist and work within RN. You know, they're just unidentifiable, and you see them and then you don't see them.
Mm. And what are your hopes for viewers as they enter into the space of the show and engage with your work? Are there any little nuggets of thought that you hope that they leave with and kind of mull over?
Yeah, I really hope for people to just take a moment to feel what's actually overlooked within the archive, especially with archives. You know, the work isn't meant to be solved. I don't expect anyone to recognize any of the work because, you know, RM has been open since 1997. But I guess I just want it to be experienced slowly, and I'd love for people to leave with the sense that the materials we surround ourselves with aren't neutral, and that archives and even digital media, that we need to, that our attention or not having our attention shapes those memories. If there's one thing to mull over, it's the idea that we're part of a larger system, and one where forgetting and remembering are deeply entangled, and maybe reactivating can be a small, quiet act of care. And I guess the main biggest thing I want people to leave with is perhaps going on to the online archive space of RM and having a look through those unidentifiable archives and seeing, you know, if they could leave a comment and if they were to identify anything or knew where the artist came from, because I think it would be amazing for that reconnection of the artist and the art or the archives that were lost.
That was Shannon Conacher speaking to me about the Archive Room, which is on at Room until the 23rd of August.